Twitter lists change your life, or how have they changed your life?
Quite a bit. I'm still in only 10% through my list, my list building experiment. I'm still finding ways that I'm going to use them. But right away, Twitter went from something where you talk about your lunch, what you had for lunch, to actually a news aggregator, or an interest aggregator is more accurate, because I have a list of just tech news brands, right? Like you're on there, BBC, New York Times, San Jose Mercury News, CNET, TechCrunch, all these news brands that are covering the tech world, I'll put on one list. And those are not people. Those are brands talking about the news. And now all of a sudden Twitter became a better RSS aggregator for me. And the other thing is now I can group my people together into bundles of interest, or into bundles of expertise, right? So I have a list of venture capitalists, and I have a list of founders or entrepreneurs. And the feeds that come off those lists are quite different. Now that they're separate, they're much more useful.
Do you feel like it's taken over the place of your RSS reader?
Oh, I already read that. I haven't used Google Reader in a couple months. But lists just accelerated that, I think.
Do you see any downsides with lists?
They're hard to manage. And there's certainly features I would like to see. I would love to join lists, because, if you have a list of venture capitalists in Boston and I have a list of venture capitalists in San Francisco, I'd love to join those two lists together and make a Uber, venture capitalist list.
Right. It seems like there's a lot of energy you have to put into it up front, but then once you've got them going, as you start discovering people, you just start throwing them into lists, I guess.
Yeah, part of that is there's no tools right now, and you have to add everybody manually, and also going through the people that you're already following. I'm following more than 10,000 people,
right?
And going through that is cumbersome at best, because even if you go through like 30 pages, all right, you're tired, you want to go to bed. How do you get back to page 31 tomorrow?
Right. You click through.
It's just a real pain in the ass.
Definitely.
On the other hand, adding people slowly, one by one, does cause you to think, which list does this person really supposed to be on? And by slowing you down, it causes the list to have better quality, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that there could be a use to, it makes me think about kind of categorizing people, or like what they cover or what their knowledge is, almost like there should be some kind of tagging for people or categorization or something.
It's totally about tagging people. And that's what the advanced course of Lyft. After you use them for a while, you start looking at, if I went to your page right now and clicked on the list you're on, the lists that you've been put on, the words that they use to create those lists, tell me what kind of person you are, or at least tell me how you're perceived by the community.
Right.
If you're on, I bet you're on a bunch of media lists and journalism lists and podcasting lists, stuff like that. Well, that matches who you are, right? And tells me a lot about you. And that's metadata that I didn't need to enter in.
Right.
Or you didn't need to enter in. On Facebook, we have to enter that metadata about ourselves manually, ourselves,
Right.
On our profile page. We have to tell everybody, I'm interested in photography and I'm interested in skiing. Well, here, if you write about skiing all the time on your Twitter account, you're going to get put on some skiing lists. And so people will be able to see, oh, this guy's into skiing.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's almost like community tagging in a way.
Yeah, and did you see ListStorius.com?
Yeah.
So now you can search for lists. So if you search for skiing, you'll find everybody who cares about skiing, right?
And you could add them to a list right away.